Welcome to the podcast series of Dave Gilpin. Dave could actually say anything he likes about himself at this point because he wrote the spiel. He's chosen, however, to make it entirely factual. Born in Kazakhstan and raised by a herd of wildebeest, Dave took a BA flight to the UK to pioneer the multi-congregational Hope City Church. To find out more, visit hopecitychurch.tv or davegilpin.com. Enjoy the ministry.
Fabulous. Give someone a high five and you can take your seats. Great. Anyway, give you a great welcome to everybody watching on YouTube, everybody listening on iTunes. Give you a big welcome from here, the center of the universe in Sheffield. Give it up for Sheffield. Woo! Happiest place in the country, except for Harrogate. And awesome. Great. Well, let me just get straight into it and say God doesn't want you to... He doesn't just want you to survive. God wants you to thrive. God doesn't want you just to get through. He wants you to have a breakthrough. Come on, I'm preaching now, right? I just started preaching. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. It's not an option for God. This is his desire. It's to bless you. His desire is not that you just survive. He doesn't want you to buy the t-shirt, I survived 2013. He wants you to buy the t-shirt, I thrived in 2013. Because that's the will of God concerning you. It's the will of God concerning you that you not only survive, but you thrive. You not only get through. I'm getting through this year. No, he doesn't want you to get through this year. He wants you to have a breakthrough this year because God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. He strategizes his blessings over your life. He doesn't want you just to get through. He wants to bless you. Deuteronomy 28 says this. It says that God wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to be the top and not the bottom. He doesn't want you to be the tail. He doesn't want other people's opinions of you to drag you along. Come on, he doesn't want to be measured by what other people think about you, other people's opinions of you. He doesn't want you to be the tail. He doesn't want you to be dragged by your emotions. He doesn't want you to be dragged by your circumstances. God hasn't destined you to be the tail. He's destined you to be the head. He's destined you to be in charge. He's destined for you to be in charge, to be the boss over your circumstances, to be the boss over your emotions, to be the boss over your destiny. He's destined you to be the under-shepherd under Jesus Christ, but not the tail. We're not being dragged through 2013. We're not being dragged through. We're not the tail, we're the head. We're not the bottom of the pile. You're not the bottom of the pile. You're a child of the living God. You've been exalted to the top of the pile. You're not destined to live with the weight of the world on your shoulders, with the weight of circumstance on your shoulders. You're destined to be on top of the world, not under the world. This is your God, to be the head and not the tail, to be on top and not on the bottom. This is God's blessing over your life. Come on, wriggle a little bit. Say amen. Do something to register that I'm preaching from the Word of God. God's desire is to bless you. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, that God has raised you up. It's not just a good Westlife song. He's raised you up. He's raised you up to be seated with Jesus Christ. So where's Jesus seated? Above powers and principalities. He's seated above dominion and reigns. And he's seated us above and not beneath.
He seated us with Christ, raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, come on, 2013, in the coming ages, 2013, that he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in kindness in Jesus Christ. So in the coming ages, what are we waiting for? In the coming ages, that God might show us his incomparable, inexpressible riches of his grace. That's the will of God concerning you. 2013, 2014, you're not born. You're not born to be the tail. You're born to be the head. You're not born to be the bottom. You're born to be the top. You're not born to survive. You're born to thrive. You're not born to get through. Now, here's the clap offering. Get your hands out. Get them ready, okay? We're born to break through. Woo! Deuteronomy 28, verse number 2, God gives a list of blessings and says, all of these shall come upon you. So you better get ready, because the Bible says all of these shall, not maybe, not probably, but all of these shall come upon you. Here's four blessings. Blessing number one in verse number 3, you'll be blessed in the city and you're blessed in the country. Well, I love that, because some of us are city slickers, some of us are country dwellers. If every one of us would say, well, I'm a country person, some would say, well, I'm a city person. Listen, whether you're in your familiarity or in your unfamiliarity, God will bless you. Whether you're in your familiar place, your happy place, or your unhappy place, God will bless you. He'll bless you in the city and he'll bless you in the country. He'll bless you in your strengths and he'll bless you in your weaknesses. God will bless you in the city and he'll bless you in the country. He'll bless you in fellowship. He'll bless you in isolation. God will bless you. He's determined to bless you. In whatever place you find yourself in right now, God is determined to bless you. He'll bless you in the city and he'll bless you in the country. Well, that's number one. Number two, in verse number 4, the fruit of your womb will be blessed and the crops of your land. The dreams that you're pregnant with shall be blessed. The newborn dreams, the small dreams, the things that are beginning in your life shall be blessed. The stuff that's conceived in your spirit shall be blessed. The destiny of your life that started so small, it shall be blessed, because God will bless the fruit of your womb. And he'll bless the lambs in the paddock. He'll bless the calves. He'll bless the young. But let me just spread this out and say, it's not just spiritual blessing. God will bless your pregnancy. God will bless your pregnancy. You need to worry not. God will bless it. God will bless your toddler. You need not panic every time they fall over, because God is looking after them. You needn't worry about your children, because God will bless the fruit of your womb. Because they're not yours, they're God's on loan to you. God will bless the lambs and God will bless the... Don't worry about your teenagers, because they'll be okay. How do I know they'll be okay? Because God says, I'll bless the fruit of your womb. I'll bless the youngsters, the toddlers, the children, the teenagers, the young adults. I'll bless them. God's determined to bless you. He's determined to bless your family. Number 3, it says in verse number 5, your basket will be blessed. God is Jehovah Jireh. He'll bless all the needs that you have. God will look after you. He will look after you. He is the Rahab on the wall. He's the whale in the ocean. He's the ravens at the brook. He's the ram in the thicket. Now, if you thought, what on earth is he talking about? Well, I just made reference to Jonah and the whale. And I made reference to Abraham and Isaac and the ram that was behind him. I made reference to a prostitute then. You might not have realized it, but when they broke into Jericho, the person who rescued and saved them was the prostitute called Rahab. There's a Rahab on the wall. I mean, it's not a great analogy, but it's a good one for this morning because I got away with it. Right? Got to teach you so much. God is your provider. He is your, and he's committed to blessing you. And in the fourth blessing, he says, I'll bless you. I'll bless you when you're coming in, and I'll bless you when you're going out. So I'll bless you in the change of seasons. There's no need to supplement or steady out this end of a season and this new season with an intense relationship. There's no need to suddenly change your Facebook status and suddenly find a partner because of the insecurity of the end of a season. God will bless your end of season and God will bless your new season. And in this house, there's people who have had a new season away from home and you're at university. There's no need to have an artificial relationship and go out with someone who's pretty good but not perfect. Just to stabilize this new season at university. There's no need for it because God will bless this new season. God will bless you. Why go out on the rebound, as it were, when you can wait until the person of your dreams comes past you and you can have your Isaac instead of your Ishmael? Another biblical reference from Genesis. There's no need to turn to drink. There's no need to turn to drugs. There's no need to eat a lot just because at the end of a season or the beginning of a new season. There's no need to turn to supplements because the Bible says God will bless you in your going in and in your coming out. God will bless you in the city. God will bless you in the country. God will bless the fruit of your womb. God will bless your basket. And God will bless you as you go in. And God will bless you as you come out. Have you got the idea yet? God wants to bless you. Have you? Has that got through yet? God wants to bless you. Well, it says in Psalm number 24, it says this. It says, lift up your heads, O you gates. The gates have heads. It says, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Lift up your head, so you guys. Listen, the gates of your life has an intelligence package. The gates in your life have got gatekeepers on them. And it says, lift up your gates. Change your poverty thinking into prosperity thinking. Lift up your gates. Because the King of glory, who is the King of glory? The King of goodness wants to enter into your life. But there's some gates in your life. And so the psalm comes bursting out and says, lift up your heads, O you gates, because the King of glory wants to come in. God wants to come in. You've got to open up your gates so the King of glory can come in. Move your thinking from bad luck thinking to blessing thinking, from surviving to thriving. You need to re-employ the gatekeeper of thankfulness. Re-employ him. Get him back out there and stop whinging about how terrible life is and start thanking God that he is the King of glory and he's about to enter in. You need to kick out the gatekeeper on unforgiveness and you need to bring in the gatekeeper of forgiveness, for without forgiveness, there is no King of glory about to come in. You ought to settle accounts, let people release from the accounts that you hold, from the debts they owe you, and you ought to lift up the head of your gates and re-employ the gatekeeper of forgiveness. Stop tightening your belt. Stop crying over spilt milk and re-employ the gatekeeper of generosity. You're going to lift up your head, change over the gatekeepers. Why? This King of glory is about to come in. What is glory? It's his goodness. It's
It's about to come in to your life. Well, who is the king? Who is the king of glory? The Bible says, well, the one stronger than you. It's a help. The one mighty in battle. Oh, it's another help. You go ahead, battle on your own. Be a holder of discontent. Or change your gatekeepers. And allow the one mighty in battle. You're going through a little battle, aren't you? You're going a little battle, little skirmishes, little wars. You're going through it, right? Why don't you change gatekeeper and let the one mighty in battle come in? Why doth thou do this, Lord? Because he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. There's no battle too great that he cannot win. There's no contest too long that he cannot endure. I love that. That's your God. Ta-da! Ta-da! This is your God. Sometimes I scratch my head at other religions. I think that'd be terrible. It would just be terrible being locked up in a religion that gives no light, that has no holes punctured from the light of heaven. I love the Christian faith. I can lift up my head. The King of glory is with me. Who is he? He's the one strong, mighty in battle. I don't need to fight too much, just a little bit, just to look like I'm fighting. You know, I pray some prayers. I pray faithful in prayer, but that's just God giving me a wink, thinking, oh, thanks, Dave, for joining in. Well, you know whose power it is. The power of God. What an awesome faith that Jesus would come and accompany us through the territory and the terrain of life to the point where the tsunami of glory comes and takes us all away for all of eternity. There comes a time for breakthrough. For King David, right? Let's look at King David just as we slide on up, right? Or slide on in this message. Let's look at King David, right? That finally he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Some of you know the story. And it was a great day and he was dancing before the Lord, right? But when you actually look at it, right? It was 20 years after he got the promise from Samuel that he would be the anointed one, that he would be king. And when he got the promise from Samuel, it was 13 years on the run. It was 7 years of warfare. And finally, God broke through, because there's a point of breakthrough in every one of our lives. There comes an exact point, a precise day, a precise hour, a precise minute, a precise second of breakthrough. Because this is not fictitious. This is not ethereal. This is factual. There comes a day where you will bring the Ark of your covenant into your Jerusalem. There comes a day when glory reigns in your life. There comes a day. There just comes a day. It's marked. There comes a day when you bring the Ark of your covenant into your Jerusalem. And for David, he decided to strip off oh so slightly, and he decided to go mental and celebrate the fact that this is 20 years in the making that's happening to me right now. Let me personalize it, right, and say that I've been preaching now for 27 years, right? Not well, but for 27 years, right? 5 years as a youth pastor and 22 years as pastor of Hope City Church. And you know, in the last 9 months, I've done a victory parade. I've spoken to 13,000 different people, and I've done a victory parade, and I've been to Australia 4 times. I've been just come back from South Africa. I've been everywhere, man. And I have done it as a celebration, as a victory celebration of the fact that God has done so much in my life,
that there's got to come a time where you've got to bake yourself a cake. There's got to come a time where you've got to put lashings of icing on it. There's got to come a time you've got to put a whole lot of candles on it. And there's got to come a time you've got to tell the world and tell Satan, I haven't just survived, I've thrived. There's got to come a time. There's got to come a time. And you see, not everyone understands. This is my victory lap. This is my victory parade. Nobody has seen the darkness that I've come from. Nobody has seen the difficulties that I've come from. A few people in this room have, but a lot of you haven't. All you see is me today, but I see my history. I see what I've beaten. I've seen the king of darkness try to floor me. I've seen the hills try to stop me. I've seen the mountains try to curse me. I've been through it, and this is my victory year. Thanks for the liberty. Thanks for the liberty. Some of you are waiting for permission to bake yourself a cake. This is my victory parade. No one else has called it that. I've called it that. I've been everywhere. I've even got a gold card. It's occasionally upgraded. I've been everywhere so much. Occasionally upgraded. I've started to have a critique list of all the airline hostesses to see if they match up, you know. I give it in to the chief steward at the end of the plane ride. I've just been everywhere. Other people say, Dave, you'll be like this and this is the new season for you. No, that's not a new season. Don't tell me that. It's a victory lap. It's not a new season. Otherwise, what you're saying is, Dave, this is not a cake. It's just out of the old into the new. No. That's your problem, right? There comes a time of breakthrough. You have to stop. You got to do a victory lap. There's a time, a precise hour, a precise minute, a precise second when you break through. I've been in suspended animation this year. I haven't known where I've been flying to, where I've been flying from. Don't know who I've been talking to. But it's been my party. I can dance if I want to. You know, when David came into Jerusalem, and I can't go on too long this morning, but when he came into Jerusalem, it says this in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. It says this. It says, David wearing a linen ephod. I tried to find one this morning. I just couldn't find one. I couldn't find one. I went through all of Jen's dresses, and I couldn't find a linen ephod. I looked everywhere for it, right? Danced before the Lord with all his might. And when he and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. Verse 16, this is interesting, right? It says, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Now, let me slightly change the tenure of this meeting right now. And let me talk about his house, our home. Because right now, what I'm about to say is the source of so many people that leave churches like ours. It's the reason why there's friction at times in churches like ours. And it's exactly this scenario with Michal in her watchtower watching a celebration and David celebrating after 20 years of persecution and war. We've got a conflict, and the conflict is alive and well right now in your hearts because I know how you think. I've got three. I try to make it four, but you don't need four. I've just got three quick pet thoughts. The sermon's called No Pets Allowed. Pet thoughts that run around in every room in the house of your mind. And these are three thoughts that are not allowed in order to make his house our home. Okay, so you're going to have to listen in real good, right? Because I'm right in on where you're actually at. Number one, never allow negative people to steal your joy. If you lose your joy, you lose your strength. When you lose your strength, you become incapacitated. Satan wins. He doesn't need to destroy you. He just needs to take the petrol from you. So you might be a beautiful car, but you're stuck on the side of the M1 going nowhere because you've allowed someone else to rob you of your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You allow people to rob you of your strength. You're left incapacitated. You're left disabled. Perfect for the enemy, but disastrous for the kingdom of God. So let me say it again, right? Don't let negative people steal your joy. This is your party. This is your celebration. This thing's personal. You know, on the journey of life, there's been people that I've bumped on the journey of life. There's been people that I've neglected on the journey of life. There's been people who have watched from the windows on the journey of life. There's people who don't like you. There's people who are intensely jealous of you. There's people who were once incredibly close friends that actually become incredibly vehement enemies. That in life, the people that hate you most are the people that were once absolutely closest to you. It's the conundrum of life that you think your enemies would have had nothing to do with you, but often they became your friends. Quick history lesson, Osama bin Laden once was in a business venture with George W. Bush. Okay, coming out of the history lesson. Sometimes you just need to let yourself be brilliant. Sometimes you just need to let yourself be awesome. Sometimes you just need to buy that ring. Sometimes you just need to buy that car. Some of you just need to go out to that Michelin star restaurant and stop being cursed by those watching on thinking that's a complete waste of money and why should they be blessed when we're not blessed? Listen, hang them. Not literally, but leave them hanging. Because you'll live your life cursed by what other people think about you. You need to break the curse. They cannot break the curse. You need to break the curse. And you need to forget about what other people think about you. You need to realize the grace of God is on your life. You need to realize there's a time of breakthrough. And you need to throw yourself a party. You need to do it. You need to celebrate. This is your victory. Don't expect the older brother, it's a reference to the prodigal son, to come to your party. This is your party. You need to celebrate the fact this is your party. And don't let the opinions, the shadows of other people's thoughts crush your ability to celebrate. See, it's here. Some of you had financial breakthroughs. You haven't told anyone. That if I do, I'm just going to make everyone feel miserable. So you told no one. I once had a senior pastor, right? Jen knows a senior pastor, right? And this is not a bad reference, right? But anyway, I've got a huge, very hard work ethic, right? But it came from working for a very hard man who had a very hard work ethic, right? Anyway, after you've been a youth pastor about 4 years, right? One of the other pastors said, hey, let's go to Stradbroke Island. The boss has got a house there. What? He's got a beach house? What? When did he get time to go to the beach house? Whoa. They said, yeah. Well, I said, what are we going to do? He said, well, he's got a boat. What? What? He's got a boat and a beach house?
5 years of working for the man, he never mentioned his beach house and the boat. I thought he was working 24/7. I never knew he had fun. I was working my backside off while he was skiing on the back of his boat on an island near the Great Barrier Reef. See, some of you got secrets. See, that's and I've hit it. I've hit this on the head. That's the reason why you don't celebrate like you ought to. See, I'll just keep that one quiet. See, this place should be alive. It should be alive with Thanksgiving. I'll just keep that to myself. Don't want to make people jealous. No, it's not that. It's because you come under the opinions of people, because you're cursed. You've allowed yourself to be cursed by the opinions of other people. That's why. Get a new job, better keep that quiet. Got promoted, better keep that quiet. So when you generally ask Christians how it's going, oh, struggling. No, you're lying. Because there comes a point where you do break through. And it just seems like in the Christian faith that no one has a breakthrough. Always struggling, trying to make ends meet. Oh, yeah, right. What's that new car you park around the corner there, but don't drive past the church on the Sunday morning? Oh, we'll leave the Merc at home, do we, and just drive the Daewoo. I tell you, I'm just saying, you need to let yourself celebrate. When something good happens, you have to bake yourself a cake. Put on Bryan Adams. Okay. This is a good point. I need to slip this in before I go to the next one. I've only got a few minutes, right? But there's never a perfect time to party. Like, there'll always be a paddock in your world that isn't growing. Because the just will live by faith. What's the point of faith unless you're between a rock and a hard place? But see, why don't you have one paddock within us, within our worlds? We've got loads. And so why allow that one paddock that's still brown to rob the joy of the other paddock that's gone golden? And when you celebrate the golden paddock, you add rainfall to the barren paddock. I'll just add a little footnote, right? We're responsible to people, but not for people. You're not responsible for people. Everybody's got a will. Everybody's got freedom to make the choices that they want to make. And so why are you trying to carry the weight of other people's responsibilities on you? Some of you have become so overly responsible, you've lost your joy. You're carrying people. What are you doing carrying people? We're here to help people. We're here to pray for people. We're here to encourage people. We're here to counsel people. We're here to give them a word in season. But we're not here to carry them. No wonder you're exhausted. Because you're going beyond the remit of the Christian faith. We're here to be responsible to people, but not for people. So shrug them off. Give them advice. Tell them what you ought to do. Give them some compassion. Share some tears. And then leave it with them. Even your family. Your family's not yours. I mean, what are you doing being weighed down by your family? I thought your family was stewarded to you by God. So why do you sink your entire world into your family when it's God's family, not your family?
Why do you let the weight of everything happening in your family, everything happening at school, everything happening when they come home from school, everything happening with your parents, everything happening with your elderly parents, why do you carry this weight that you weren't even born to carry? I thought the battle belonged to God. I thought he was the older oxen. I thought he said, take my yoke. We're responsible to them, and at times to provide, at times to pray. But ultimately, they're not yours. They're God's. See, take off that thick coat that's made you very boring and very zealous and very studious. But oh, nobody likes you because you're so drab. Why? Because you're carrying the weight of the world that God never told you to carry. Because of your intense, almost too much love, if I could say that. Too much love that becomes controlling love instead of a love that becomes a releasing love. I've got to come out, right? Number two, right? Don't allow your joy to become a killjoy. Somebody else's killjoy. Now, listen to this, right? This is seconds. This is what David said back to Michal, his wife, right? In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 21, 23, right? David said to Michal, right? She said, oh, listen, you're just embarrassing yourself in front of the slave girls, right? This is what David said. It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his household when he appointed me to be the ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I'll celebrate before the Lord, and not just that, I'll become even more undignified than this. as he rubs her face in it. And we made a song out of it. We actually made a song out of that, right? Said, I'll be humiliated in my own eyes, but these slave girls, they'll hold me with honor. Not like you. Now, it does say, and Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death, right? Her bitterness led to barrenness. So you just need to underline that, right? Unforgiveness becomes septic, and septic unforgiveness becomes bitterness, and bitterness always shuts the gates to the King of Glory and leads to barrenness, right? Now, back to David, right? David had lost all sensitivity. Rubbed her nose in it. Instead of understanding her, he stood over her and helped make things worse. The Bible says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. We need to create a home that's filled with kindness and not harshness. So you want to celebrate the goodness of God, right? But you also want to maintain a degree of sensitivity, right? So let's talk about Michal for a second, right? Abused. Totally and absolutely abused. She was a pawn. Her dad said to David, if you kill 100 Philistines, I'll give you Michal. Well, that's not a good start, is it? So he gets Michal. And then the dad decides to persecute David, so he's got to be on the run for 13 years. And while he's away, running away from Michael's dad, Michael's dad, Saul, comes up to Michal, says, I'm going to remarry to somebody else. She goes, what? Yep. So she gets remarried to somebody else because she's a pawn. She's one of life's pawns. And then when David becomes king of Hebron, he says, where's my wife? Well, Mr. Neglectful Man, who probably hasn't seen his wife in 12 years, they say she's married to another man. He says, go and get her. She's my wife. So the soldiers surround the house and say, Michal, you're coming back with us. Her husband, the Bible says, is weeping all the way to the gates of Hebron. And then her dad commits suicide. And now she's standing on a turret seeing a celebration. Thinking I can have none of that. Well, David, I'll be even more undignified than this. Well, you're an idiot.
you're an idiot. You just need to look. You just need to sympathize and look at the background of Michael to discover she's a very hurt woman. You used her. You abused her. You were insensitive to her. You were not a good husband to her. So don't let your joy become a killjoy. Add to your joy some sensitivity. And also, the reason why our struggles take a little bit longer than they ought is so that we know that it was God who broke through on our behalf, so that we don't gain any arrogance over our breakthrough. Here's David. Listen, this wasn't David's breakthrough. This is God's breakthrough, because even David, even that persecuted for 13 years, when he was meant to be living it up in the club at 18 years of age, he was running away from the king, being persecuted, almost murdered on numerous occasions. If anyone should have had post-traumatic stress disorder, David should have had it. But he chose to take off the hurts and the pains and to put on the garments of praise. There comes a time you just need to choose. I'm going to take off the sackcloth and ashes of the hurts of my life, and I'm going to put on the garments of praise. A little bit of sensitivity to make his house our home wouldn't go astray in Hope City Church. My third point's not even the third point, right? So I can just quickly say it, right? Don't let other people's joy kill your future joy. Jealousy comes by... Oh, I can't even read my writing, but I don't need to read it, right? You know what to do with jealousy? When you're wanting a partner or wanting a girlfriend, boyfriend, then somebody else gets one. Jealousy. When you're wanting a child, you've been trying for a long time, someone else has a child. Jealousy. You're wanting kids who are going for Jesus, and you see other kids around who are going for Jesus, but yours aren't, jealousy. We straight when you see someone celebrating, we're stricken by jealousy. You know what you need to do to your jealousy? Tackle it head on. Send them a card. Tackle it head on and destroy that jealousy immediately by sending a text, sending a tweet, buying them something. Because jealousy will kill you. It'll kill you. Someone else's joy is killing your potential joy. And every one of us, I get tinges of jealousy 100 times a day. What do? Well, I apply the goodness of Jesus 100 times a day to keep me free from the septic sores of jealousy and envy. See, that's what you need to do. Do you know, I'll just tell a little secret, right, about Hope City Church. That when Hope City Church got a little bit younger, Hope City Church, when you see the videos of Hope City Church, like back in the early days, right, it was just a 50s plus club. Like I'm talking 20 years ago, right? And then there was a group of 18-year-olds like Siobhan and like Chris Denham and Glenn Barrett, people like that, right? But the moment we decided to invest like Jesus did and to put a bit more investment into young adults, right, because Jesus surrounded himself with 12 young adults. And that's the place where people meddle with the direction of their ship that changes everything to according to their future. So this is the time to make disciples, is when people turn from childhood into young adulthood. When we did it, right, I'll tell you what happened in our church. All the 40-somethings disappeared. Bye-bye. They all felt led of the Spirit to go. So we had no teenagers in church life. Thank God we've got a lot of teenagers now, which means we've got a lot of people in their 40s now. But you know why? You know why they left? Because when they saw a young punk, right, like a 22-year-old strutting his stuff, right, the 42-year-old man says, there was the dreams I used to have before they got shipwrecked. And every time I look at you, you remind me of the dreams I used to have. So I'm out of here. What they should have become is mentors and fathers and uncles and aunties. That's what they should have become. They should have tackled their jealousy head on. Instead, they're with the Lord in a holy huddle in somebody's house this morning, meeting once a month. No, they're bound by jealousy and envy, bound by fear. And all the women, you know, you get a 22-year-old up here, right? You're sitting down there, had three kids,
And you're thinking, that's the body I used to have. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. No Amy the twig. No, I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying. There's stuff you have to deal with. Because some people leave church because people are jealous of something they've got that you haven't got. I've got to get out of here, but you want to guard your jealousy. And you want to not keep jealousy for more than an hour or two before you disperse it back with an Instagram of praise, a Twitter of encouragement, a Facebook entry of admonishment, a selfie of joy. We can do this thing called church. We can do this thing called church. Have a victory parade. Don't let somebody else steal your joy. Be sensitive to other people who are lacking joy. And don't let other people's joy kill the future joy that you're going to have. Because breakthrough and blessing belongs to every person who's watching and every person in this room. And let's give God a clap offering of praise. Come on, you can do it. Give Him a clap offering of praise. Come on, Hope City Church. Give Him a clap offering of praise. Come on, He's our God. He'll bless you in the city. He'll bless you in the country. He'll bless you going in. He'll bless you coming out. He'll bless your basket. He'll bless you. He'll bless the fruit of your womb. He'll bless your young calves. He'll bless your lambs. He'll bless you. He's determined to bless you. You'll be the top and not the tail. You'll be the top and not the bottom, because God's a God who blesses.